Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here, somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Good evening. Thanks so much for being with us wherever you are, whenever you are, because it's so exciting that people listen to the podcast all over the world at whatever is a convenient time for you. So welcome one and all. Thanks for being here. And we're going to have a wonderful time with Rachael Lauren Wilson, who's been my friend for a very long time and is one of the few people on the planet that I can say does pretty much the same thing that I do at the same level that I do and that I trust to do it. So we're going to have fun talking shop, finding out how she got there. But first, tonight's metaphysical music. And when I was a kid, I was always told never talk about religion or politics, so I got to talk about at least one of them. You know, it's just adolescent rebellion, have to do that. I'm on a shamanic discussion group on Facebook, and the conversations are fascinating because people bring incredibly diverse perspectives, even though they're coming from the same framework. And at some point, it always falls into name-calling and finger-pointing. And pretty much any time you have a conversation where there's a lot of potential for disagreement, that happens, which is always annoying. But I always go back to underlying principles or overarching concepts. And to me, the one thing that's always there is there is a source, a creator, whatever started all of this, universal consciousness, or maybe it started with the creator and it became universe. I don't know. But there's one whatever that is, he, she, it, one of it. Most of the arguments in this stuff is what name we should call that, what story we should tell about it, and is it okay, or basically it's not okay for anyone else to have a different version. And I look at this planet and it is incredibly diverse in every possible way. You look at the species of plants and animals and everything else, and in each part of the world they develop differently. And there's incredible diversity. So why wouldn't we think that people trying to understand the same divinity would come up with the same stories and say it the same way? Nothing else in their culture is the same. So all over the world, people are looking at the same experience of divinity, and they've come up with different ways of expressing it because we're all a little bit different. And most of the arguments going on about this stuff are, you're saying it different from the way I do, and my way's right. Maybe I'll leave it there. So, shamanism is an attempt to have as close to a one-to-one relationship with whatever that divinity source is, whatever the creator is, and to do it by realizing that everything in the world is part of that, and therefore you can communicate with all of it. So the way I express that a lot of the time is everything is energy, everything is connected, everything is conscious, and everything is interactive. So you can go and talk to a tree and not only find out things about its experience and perhaps get some advice from it, but also find out what's going on for its entire species, what's going on the planet, all kinds of stuff. And that's true of absolutely everything. And we all know, I don't know if you had relatives, but I had several relatives who talked to everything. And as a little kid, I thought they were out of their minds. You know, they talked to the teapot and they talked to the squirrels and they talked to everything. And I'm realizing that they may well have been spiritual masters. Because whether they understood it or not, they were keeping open a communication with absolutely everything. And typically it was a loving communication, and typically it was a humorous communication. So the experience of being in the world as a shaman, which can involve all kinds of different traditions and specific rituals and different ways of looking at things, is primarily about having an experience, a direct experience of communication with spirit as it manifests in everything. And hopefully in those special moments, having direct communication with source so that you can understand bigger concepts and understand what your role is at this moment. I always say that the only thing a shaman really does is to be able to sit in the middle of a situation that has already made everybody else run into the hills with their hair on fire. And you just stand there quietly and say, "And what would you have me do now? What do I need to know? What do you want me to do?" A very different perspective from looking in a book that was written by somebody who might have known the master that they're talking about, but more likely knew somebody who knew somebody who knew somebody several generations down the line, and then wrote the story down because nobody had written it down yet. So belief is always hearsay. It's always somebody said, but experience is something that you viscerally in your own consciousness and your own body have that isn't subject to that belief thing. You don't have to believe it. You experienced it. When people say, "Oh, so you believe in ghosts, do you?" And I go, "No, I believe in ghosts. I have an experience of ghosts. There is no belief involved anymore." And that's the difference. That's the difference between all of the traditions where there is an attempt to make a direct contact and all of the traditions where it references somebody else's experience. So that's tonight's metaphysical music. And now I get to hang out with my friends who I haven't talked to in a while. We do everything by Facebook chat, which isn't nearly the same. Rachel, Lauren Wilson, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, as always. I've missed you, my friend.
I missed you, too. And part of that is that we understand the experience that each of us is having. And there aren't too many people out there that I can do that with. I can count them on the fingers of one hand, basically.
I like being able to drop you a note on Facebook and say, "You're not going to believe this." And then I go, "Of course you will." Because, yes, you get it. You've been there, done that, got the t-shirt. So we're all part of the same club.
Oh, I have to teach you the complete phrase. It's been there, done that, got the t-shirt, wore it out, used it as a painting rag, and threw it away.
Love it. That's perfect.
So what I always ask my guests is, how did you wind up doing this? You know, what was the walk about? How did your life unfold in such a way that you were doing what most people would consider very unusual stuff? But it's now just what you do.
It is just what I do. And, you know, what I find fascinating is that there are so many things in our media and our media-driven experience that I could say, well, it was kind of like The Matrix, but it was a little like Ghostbusters. And then, did you ever see that movie, The Hours, and da-da-da-da-da? I mean, just going through all of these different things and saying, okay, well, it's like that, but it's with this twist and, you know, a little bit of lemon over here and, you know, sugar on that side. And, you know, I grew up with an understanding of other things that couldn't be seen, but I completely felt. And that's why I self-identified pretty early on as an empath. And it didn't always serve me to be an empath. And
let's just define empath for the people that may not be familiar with it. An empath can feel, typically in their body, but also emotions, the experiences of other people or any number of other things, but you feel it in your body.
Exactly. And I feel very fortunate that my empathy is limited to emotional energy and not physical pain and physical sensation, yep. which a lot of people, I mean, they can't even go out of their house. So I'm very fortunate that I seem to have that level in check. But even growing up and going through my adolescence and understanding something other than me was driving this feeling. I could see spirit. I could feel spirit. I could identify male and female, intention, experience. And I just didn't know what to do with it. And so I sort of put it away. I had, as many of us in this practice have experienced, there was a lot of people in my life that went, if you talk like that and you act like that, they will take you away from your family and you will never see the light of day again.
Right.
So please don't say this to me because it's terrifying to me. And saying that to a small child, yeah, they clam up.
Exactly.
So I left it all through my teen years and into my early 20s. And then I had a devastating trauma in my life and lost someone very close to me. And it sort of sent me into this desperation, I'll call it, to communicate and draw on those tools that I knew I always had. And I started working for a psychic. And in trade, she would teach me how to work with my own energy and work with all of those quote-unquote skills and gifts that were pretty much driving me crazy. And when I felt as though this was fruitless, I didn't want to be a psychic. I didn't want to hang out a shingle. I didn't want to read tarot cards. I understood that those tools had their place. It just wasn't for me. And right. So I quit doing it. And then a few years later, we decided to become ghost hunters. And I went on my first ghost hunting adventure to a local cemetery. And I became a beacon, a spotlight. My living room was a cocktail party. It was something that I got shot out of a cannon to become whatever it is I've become. And to say that it snowballed from there is the understatement of the year. It really has been this peaks and valleys and roller coaster ride probably for the last 10, 12 years. So here I am, and that has come with a lot of training. I had an amazing mentor that unfortunately passed away in 2014 who taught me a level of skill and house healing that you mm-hmm. and I both enjoy. And it has taught me a balance with those gifts and skills that I recognize spirit and recognize divinity in a way that nothing else in my life really reflects that ability to connect with the divine, as you were saying in your metaphysical musings. It's not about religion. It's about understanding the connectivity we all share. Mm-hmm. And, I've become a holistic health practitioner. I understand herbs and plants. I mean, I'm sure I was burned at the stake at some other lifetime that all of this is resonating and it's a process of memory for me, but it seems to go hand in hand. There's not one part of this that doesn't connect and harmonize with the other parts. And I love my life, and it is very natural. The way I move in the world, I don't stifle, I don't censor. I read other people, and I don't overwhelm them. At least I hope not. I speak my truth, and I live my truth in a way that is very freeing and very natural. It's just how we experience the world, and that mm-hmm. can't be bad, you know?
Well, the problem is that people are taught to be afraid in a number of different ways. Obviously, some religions say anything like that is bad and wrong. But most of the media stuff about paranormal, anything, I don't like the term paranormal. To me, I talk about extended senses. Most people are tuned to AM radio and it's staticky and hard to tune in and there's not much there except talk shows and country music. And then there are those of us that are broadband and we're tuning in to everything, the emergency channels, FM radio, TV, and, you know, everything that's out there is available to anybody if you have the right receiver. And some of us are broadband. And a lot of the kids that are coming in now are, well, all kids are broadband until they realize that other people aren't and they shut it down. So to me, it's just there's so much out there. And people like you and I have the ability to tune into more of it than most people do. But those people that can't have been told that anybody who can is weird and bad and wrong.
Right.
So instead of saying, oh, good, I know there's something there and you can tell me about it and help me with this because I can't.
I like to be able to show them their own light, too, and say, You know what? It's about adjusting your own frequency.
Right.
And one of my favorite analogies for that is a light bulb. Are you going to spend your life as a 15-watt bulb, or are you going to crank it up and be a triple threat? You know, are you going to be a 60, 90, 120-watt bulb? You know, is you can choose how much you want to turn it up and experience. And it can serve you, even if you never develop to those levels. I have people that I work with now, they're like, I never want to see what you see. I never want to hear what you hear. And I say, yeah, but you know what? You don't always get to choose. You get shown, and then you get to choose.
Right. Right. I constantly have people say, oh, I wish I could see, and I wish I could hear. And I go, no, you really don't. It's glitzy. It's the stuff that everybody thinks is cool. But it's really distracting.
Oh, yeah. If you're trying to sleep and there's a hooker standing over you saying, where's my lipstick? And it's a bad time. You know, it's really inconvenient. Or somebody yelling at you in Spanish at 4 o'clock in the morning. And I don't speak Spanish. So there you go. You don't want this.
Right. A friend of mine tells a story of going down to the kitchen to get a glass of water, and there's a ghost floating over the dining room table demanding her attention. And she looks at him and goes, this isn't office hours. I'm going back up to sleep. Come back and make an appointment. No, get out of my house.
Well, and this is the thing, you know, as you develop, you start to understand that it's sort of like waiting for upgrades. And sometimes you get these upgrades and you're not fully engaged yet. And you do get kind of surprised and blindsided, like, oh, I didn't realize that this could just randomly appear.
Right.
And learning how to navigate all of these wonderful gifts and skills is crazy.
Well, and it's also just exposure and experience. I mean, years ago when I still ate gluten, I had a bagel and the tub of cream cheese, and I put the cream cheese on it, and being a boy, I stabbed the knife vertically in the middle of the tub of cream cheese and went about my business. And a couple of minutes later, the whole tub of cream cheese didn't, you know, the knife didn't slowly go on an angle and fall over. The whole tub went sideways. And I looked over my shoulder at it and went, who are you and why did you come in past all the warnings and protections? And now I had a ghost appear who had, you know, the deer in the headlights look. Like, what are you doing here? You better have a good reason. He did. But, you know, until you get to that point, everything is creepy and scary. And then at some point, it's just like, what are you doing? What do you think you're doing?
Yeah, and you're not, you just sort of oh, okay, I need to put my dinner away and I need to go sit in my office and let you know that I see you, I feel you, and we'll talk later.
Right.
I've developed this ability to watch a news story, and because of my empathy, I connect with, you know, if it's been a tragic event, I connect with the victim. And right. What I was finding was that the minute I made that connection, I had a ghost in my house. And I had a situation where a woman was murdered in a parking garage. And I was watching the news report, and I happened to recognize the building she was in. So I'd actually been there to visit a client a couple of years before. And so I found myself there, and I just went immediately and right. connected with her emotionally. And a couple of days later, my daughter and I were sitting on the couch, and I, all of a sudden, this, it was like someone had thrown a piece of lace over my eyes. And I was like, wow, who's that? And I turn around in this gray mist, and I say mist, and it's not. You've seen them. They're not.
Yeah.
It's like someone took gray cheesecloth and threw it around the room or something, because it has mass. And it went out through my garage door, and I said, we've got a ghost in the house. And my daughter's like, get rid of it! So I left her alone, and then when I had an opportunity and my family had gone to bed, I sat in my office, and I said, okay, let's talk. And I said, I am so sorry that I brought you here. And she's like, where am I? And I explained to her who I was, and that it was my job to help her cross over. And she was still in that, you know, state of mind where she seemed to know that she was dead, but she was still living that moment of
right.
terror that had really kept her in that space. And, you know, I talked to her, and I said, I'm so sorry this happened to you, but you'll find that it's so much easier to communicate with the people that you loved here. Once you've crossed over, and it's your choice, but I can help you with that. And so she was real excited. I opened the door for her, and all of a sudden I heard this protest, and it was this angry, how dare you? Who do you think you are? What the hell is going on? And just screaming. And I did not realize that the man who shot her had actually committed suicide after he shot her.
Oh.
And he was attached to her. And
right.
so I wound up crossing them both over, but he was right. livid. I was crossing him over. But
right.
that's, you know, it was a twofer.
Yeah,
but yes, I did that. I brought them to my house. And I, you know, I've since learned that I have to be really careful when I'm watching the news or any of that stuff.
Not, not to bring them home. Do it where they are. Yeah.
Like, oh, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We're getting close to the break. I want to make sure people know how to find you. My guest is Rachael Lauren Wilson. And what's the best way to get in touch with you?
You can find me on Facebook at Clear Light Solutions. It's S-O-U-L Solutions. And I'm also at QuietusLLC.com.
And spell that out so people have an idea.
It's QUIETUSLLC.com.
Yeah, and we'll be talking a little bit more about Quietus because you do some fascinating, you bridge the gap between stuff that people typically don't want to talk about and the corporate world. And I find that absolutely not only fascinating, but so incredibly impressive that you figured out how to express their needs and how this work can assist them with their needs and not freak them out, which is, I guess, how all the task that all of us to do this have to do. So when we get back, we will talk more about that. Is there, well, I'll ask you that question when we get back. My guest tonight is Rachael Lauren Wilson. We will be back shortly, unless, of course, we get taller, here on Empower Radio. This is David Franklin Farkas with the Farkas Files. Don't go nowhere.
Mind if I sit down?
Nope.
This coffee tastes like coffee. So what's going on?
Not much.
What's new?
Not much.
Okay, but can you please put the newspaper down while you say not much?
What newspaper?
This newspaper. Oh, dude! What happened to your face? I see one, two,
ow,
three, four, five, six.
Ow.
Dude, what is
ow
this? 11 pieces of toilet paper stuck to your face?
I'm shaving in the dark to save energy. I'm helping the environment.
That's a dangerous way to help the environment.
Well, sometimes you have to sacrifice yourself for the greater good.
Dude, there's an easier and safer way to help the environment without sacrificing yourself. Go green, go public. Take public transportation. It's good for the environment and you won't have to live behind a newspaper.
Wow.
But for now, put the newspaper back up.
A message from the public transportation systems across the country. To learn more, visit publictransportation.org.
I'm home, and I love it. I'm home where I belong. I'm home, and I love it. I'm home where I belong.
It's always nice to come home, but these days, many Americans are at risk of foreclosure and losing their homes. Fortunately, help is available. Making Home Affordable is a free program from the U.S. government that has already helped over a million struggling homeowners, and we want to help you.
I'm home.
I'm home.
And I love it. I'm home.
I'm home.
Find out now what your options are. Go to makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE. The sooner you act, the better chance we can help you.
I'm home.
I'm home.
Where I be.
Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Sassy! Sassy!
This week's episode, Danger at the Old Well.
Last one to the old well's a rotten egg.
Ha-ha, I win.
Whoa! Ah! Sassy! Johnny fell down the well.
I'm wet.
What, Sassy? You know where Mr. Gunderson keeps his rope? Go get it, girl. What? You'd rather use this time to set people straight about shelter pet adoption?
I'm cold!
People shouldn't be afraid to adopt from a shelter? Because shelter pets are screened for sound, health, and temperament?
I'm wet and cold!
Sassy, what about Johnny? What? Let Johnny sit in the well until he learns to be more self-reliant? Sassy!
What'd he say?
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt.
Now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
And we're back with my guest, Rachael Lauren Wilson, who does absolutely amazing stuff. And it's always so much fun to just tell ghost stories. But you do this kind of work and house clearing and stuff, which is similar to what I do. But you've managed to figure out a way to bridge the gap into the corporate world and talk about it in such a way that they go, oh, yeah, we need that.
Yeah.
And so tell us a little bit about both the language that you have to use, the mindset you have to use, but also what that experience is like working in the corporate world doing this kind of work.
Well, you know, what's fortunate is that we have such access in, you know, the last few years to any amount of information. Just at the click of a button, you can ask any question. It's not anything that cannot be quantified on the internet. You know, everybody has an opinion. Everybody has some source to access. And what I find really interesting is that the minute you start to discuss anything to do with, you know, I know we hate the word paranormal, but it's true. Anything that people define this way,
right.
You have people perk up or they shut down. And
right.
Whatever the motivation happens to be, either through experience or just, you know, fear or any number of things, you know, you're either going to have a door in or you're just going to have it slammed in your face. But doing this work, and again, just speaking in truth, speaking in a way that this is my everyday life. I don't put on a fancy costume. I don't wander around with an incense burner with chanting and you know,
right.
things that people would be wary of. I speak in absolute plain talk. This is how I move in the world. And for a lot of people, they like to have the science aspect defined for them, which I will bring up in a matter of quantum physics,
mm-hmm.
and talking about energy and energy as mass, energy as a vibration, and people get behind that. So even if I never use the word ghosts or a demon or any other word that might light someone up in a negative way, the minute I start discussing energy, people will listen, regardless of what their experience has been with the paranormal. And when you start to express things in those terms and say, you know, energy can be manipulated for good or for ill, and you have someone who is trying to grow a business or you know, make an impression, you can draw energy to you, like attracts like, and you want to be able to present yourself in a positive way and have people respond in a positive way. When I'm working with a corporation, and I say corporation and we think, you know, like the Rand Corporation or something like this, it's, most of the time they can be small businesses. A lot of what I do is real estate, whether it's residential or commercial real estate.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that I work with, you know, their job is to sell. Whether they're selling themselves or selling a home or selling a business, they need to be able to understand in a way that they can translate to their clients. And so my job is to define it in terms that are simple. And when I say things like the energy in this space is incredibly negative, and we can look at its history, we can look at a building's history and say, okay, there's been some trauma here or whatever. We can, and if we can't see it in the building, we can see it in the land. There's a number of things that we look at for clues as to why something isn't selling or why something is seeming to be blocked energetically. You know, why can we only take it this far? You know, we've had 50 showings of this property. Why isn't this working? A lot of times it isn't a ghost. It's the energetics of the people who live there or work there.
Right.
And you say, what is the block here? Well, we have things called thought forms, and through those thought forms, they become things. Thoughts become things. And if you have a person working in, you know, your office with you, and all of a sudden your sales are dropping, what's really happening here? You can go through and say, well, you know, Jim Smalls over there is going through a divorce right now, and he's not getting enough money at this company to support his wife, and, you know, it's coming back to the business. You know, something like that,
right.
Where we can actually go through and say, well, you have an energetic blockage here. Let's help clear that energetic blockage. And, you know, part of what I do in terms of clearing is to be able to define those things and create a shunt almost, an energetic shunt in the system, or actually separate the energy of that person from affecting the business by creating boundaries and limitations on how that person interacts energetically with the space. When you're selling a home, being able to say, well, okay, you don't have a spirit manifestation here, but what's happened is that this home was a traumatic place for the people who used to live here. There's been a divorce in the family. If you walk into a room and two people have been arguing, but they're not in the room anymore, you feel them. And part of what I do is to be able to look at that empathically and say, okay, I'm feeling this way. We don't want a prospective buyer to walk in here and feel that. We want them to have their own energy. We want them to be embraced and knowing that this space is clear for them. I've had incredible success with that. And, you know, not to pat myself on the back too much, but I've had situations where a property will have been on the market for, you know, 90 days or more, and I go in and I do a clearing and it sells within the next week. So I feel pretty good about that.
I understand. Not to be bragging, but my record was 3 days.
Excellent.
But, you know, for the same kinds of reasons, looking at the same kinds of things, you look at that stuff empathically, which really means you feel that stuff to sort it out. I see it as I can see the grid or a representation of the grid, the energy structure, and those, all the emotions, but typically explosive emotions, will damage the grid. There'll be either a hole or a distortion in it, and the story just sits there running like it was recorded and put there.
Right.
So my process is more visual, and I can reset that grid like reformatting a hard drive. And then the story isn't there. The file's gone. And the place feels very different. So different ways to approach the same energetic issue.
Yeah, and that's what I find remarkable about this work and meeting other people who are practitioners of it. Hmm? Again, it's less about the modality than the intention. And what I'm finding is that, again, people are more receptive because you are speaking in terms that, whether you chalk them up to science, you know, empirically based science, or quantum physics, or metaphysics, all of those things interact in a way that I think is easy to explain to someone if you are able to simply say, look, there's a problem. You can identify there's a problem. What we're going to do is look at it from this angle. You know, plumbers look in the pipes. There's a way to look at things energetically in the pipes.
Right.
And to fix them from the inside out.
Yeah, it's amazing to me, though, that somebody can graduate high school and even college in this country and not know the very basic things that Einstein figured out 100 years ago, that everything is energy and some of that energy appears to be particles, although we don't really quite know why mass exists yet.
Well, yeah.
And of course, if you don't know what mass is, then you don't know what gravity is, and you don't, you know, it's precessional effect of, you're missing the major linchpin of a lot of scientific stuff. But it shows how mushy everything is, that it is all energy, that there is some energy phenomenon which appears to be a solid particle and causes all this other stuff that we can predict, but we're still very, very far from understanding what mass is, and, you know, or what's dark energy and dark matter. Well, it's got to be there because otherwise our math doesn't work, but we can't measure it. Well, and that's the realm that all of us work in.
Yeah. And it's maddening to the empirical scientific community, because we can't get things to conform to those rigid requirements, our human requirements, to be able to define those things.
Well, what I always say is I am not only the observer, I'm also the experiment and the lab equipment.
Precisely. Precisely.
So I can report back my experience from all three of those roles because I have a perception of those things, but you don't have equipment yet that can do what I do. So let's get that equipment done so we can figure it out. But in the meantime, there's thousands of years of historical record of people in every culture all over the planet saying, this is what it looks like and this is how to work with it. This is not new. I always say this is mature technology.
Well, then you have people from the religious aspects saying you can't play with this because it's blasphemous, or you know, it's against God, or it's satanic, which is my favorite definition.
Right.
It's remarkable to me that there's so much fear surrounding our own unique abilities in our humanity, and why we should be able to perceive these things on multiple levels. It's part of our birthright. It's part of our humanity. And, you know, it's one of my favorite things. When someone is a seeker and they're looking for answers, and I tell them, you are vibrating at a certain frequency. You are part of the one. You are part of all that is. You are matter, and yet you are not. And you can increase who you are and how much you express through changing your vibration, your personal frequency. And some of us are running hotter than others. And yes, you can do this. It's you have this unique ability to do it as long as you recognize it and employ it.
I have a friend who's been on the show several times, Christina Rake, who is a theologian. She is a Mensa member who writes the test questions for, you know, the SATs and the graduate records and all those exams that everybody takes. She writes that stuff.
I'm going to have to call her. My kid's taking it, so.
Yeah. She's psychic. She's a paranormal investigator. She's also clergy. And as a theologian, she's read all of the Christian literature from the first century in the original languages.
Mm-hmm.
So when I bring this stuff up of people saying, well, it's satanic or it's this or it's that or all the other stuff that's thrown around, she can explain to me when things went sideways and that's not what was originally said.
No.
And either it's a translation error or a Protestant preacher in Europe in the 1800s came up with a new twist of interpretation that's carried through, or, you know, there are streams of understanding that have shifted over the course of the 2000 years. And most of what people understand is because they don't know what was originally said and what the original meaning and intent was, which, you know, it's like, and it's the only thing they know. So you can't say, no, you're wrong.
Right. Again, there's that wrinkle of experience. So,
right. Right. I once interviewed several authors who could not find hell in the scripture and had written books about how hell doesn't exist in scripture. And then I had Christina on as the final person to sum it all up. And I described to her my understanding of hell, that there are multiple hells and, you know, several. And she said, well, yeah, it's in scripture. And she rattled off something that didn't sound like it said what I said, and then translated it into what the original meanings were.
Wow.
So the people who really do understand where it all came from and what the path of understanding was have a totally different perspective than the folks who are at the far end of the telephone game. you know, with interpretation on interpretation, which right. basically gets down to, we don't understand this, but we've been scared about it for hundreds of years, so we're going to keep being scared about it.
Right, because this is the most recent translation. As far as I'm concerned, it's the only one I hear.
Right, and, you know, people say, but you know, demons or whatever. I go, no, you don't understand. It's another day at the office in my world.
Right, right. People get completely freaked out the minute you say that to them.
You know, it's like, yes, there's a big problem. And the good news is you found me or Lauren, and we know what to do about it. You know, it's like finding the explosives expert.
Right.
You really want the guy that knows how to do this particular kind of diffusing of this particular kind of explosive. And yeah, I do it all the time. No problem.
Well, and this is the thing, is to be able to take away the fear, to change that vibration that they are putting out and feeding, mm-hmm. if it truly is a demonic energy that's, you know, creating chaos in their world. I cannot stress enough to people, you have got to stand in your dominion. You have got to take ownership over the body, the mind, and the soul. You cannot fight this thing if you don't know who you are. You cannot fight right. this thing and hope to have any kind of success. You have to be in gratitude, not in fear, and accept your role, accept your power. You can't come at anything with force. You have to stand in absolute power.
Right. The way I soften the fear is by calling them parasites.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Which is what they are. They're feeding. They want more negativity to happen because that's what they feed on. So they go where violence or addiction or whatever the particular stream of darkness is. They go there and they start feeding on it and they try and make more.
Yeah.
And so if I find them there, I know something happened that attracted them. But, you know, basically, if you pull it, well, first of all, basically, if you look at them and go, no, that's not going to scare me, because everything they do is based on fear, they get pretty confused, as mm-hmm. you well know. there's nothing quite like a demon with a deer in the headlights look. It's really precious.
Nice euphemism. It's very precious.
Does that usually work for you? That's I like that shape shifting thing, but yeah. Does that usually work? Makeup.
You just picture them standing in their bathroom mirror in the morning, going, "Raw, no,
right.
no, ah, no, no, no,
right.
no, no." Find
yeah,
the right
Monsters,
one,
Inc., right? you know that, and that's coming from that perspective of, this doesn't freak me out anymore, and they operate from the place of fear and lies and freaking people out. And so as soon as they run into someone that they can't freak out, they don't have any idea what to do.
You know, I'll admit to being surprised, because there have been occasions where a demon will, you know, oppress someone mm-hmm. who do something to me. It's happened a couple of times.
Yeah, it's a very creepy feeling. The feeling in the body is the part that gets to me.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, I mean, I feel like I'm going to retch, and, you know, it's almost like having intense indigestion, heartburn. You know, it's just comes right up. And when it happens, I'm so busy going, really? 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 But when I get my wits about me, I mean, they'll be screaming all manner of stuff at me, and I'm just like, okay, go ahead, get it all out. Get it all out of your system. Say what you're going to say. Are you done? Because I'm done. I'm tired of listening to you. But it takes a minute. It takes a minute to engage out of your human response, which is going right. To be freaked out. And it's the timing is getting shorter and shorter as they do challenge me. But I, you know, the long and the short of it is there's absolutely nothing that they have power over me. And I understand that.
Well, I know that you have the same authority and understanding that I do. And you know, my thing is, if you asked anybody who I am,
yes.
You know, it's like, I've got street cred or something. I have no street cred in the physical world, but evidently on the other side. And, you know, they stop and they get that deer in the headlights look and go, oh, I'm so screwed, aren't I? And I go, yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, we're done now.
Pretty much. I'll give you a choice which you won't take, and there we are. It won't be fun.
You know, when I've offered the choice, I've crossed a couple over, and that's really gratifying.
Right, every once in a while.
Yeah,
but
and
most of them are so terrified that they've been told. They have their own fear process running. That's how they're controlled.
Yeah.
That they just can't do it. Can't go there.
Well, and they're so convinced that the light will burn them.
Right.
And you know, they definitely love to tell earthbound energies the same thing. And it's like, have you ever experienced it? Well, no. You know, and said, well, maybe you should try it. What's the worst that could happen? I mean, anything's better than the pit, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, the conversations do get pretty strange.
They get really weird. And the fact that you and I can just chit-chat about it, like, no big deal.
Well, and it's like everything else that's so beyond difficult that people don't understand it. You know, I talked to a Coast Guard rescue swimmer once. And they think completely differently from any normal human being, like any special forces, and I consider them special forces.
Yeah.
But the same is true of elite rescue people. I had the opportunity to be trained by New York Police Emergency Service, which is kind of like SEAL Team 6 for rescue.
Wow.
And they... You know, their perspective was totally different. And they would say things like, if we ever call you out on this, you're probably going to have to vomit and don't do it in front of the public. You know, it's just like, matter of fact, this is going to be creepy. This is going to scare you. You'll get over it. And here's what you need to do.
Yeah.
So there are, I'm amazed at the specialists who do extraordinary work that most people have absolutely no clue about. And our world depends on them. You know, we do a similar version on the other side, but they're all the people that are doing it in the physical.
Well, you know, I guess it's like anyone who does this type of work. I don't see myself as a hero by any stretch. And most of the time, what I'm doing is either pro bono or in the dark, literally. Mm. And people don't necessarily know what I do. I have had gratitude from those that I'm crossing over, and I've had gratitude from the people that I've helped clear their homes. And that's enough.
Yep.
I don't need my name on a plaque somewhere. I mean, I absolutely honor the people that go through this physical world, you know, risking life and limb. And that's not to say what we do isn't dangerous. It can be. Certainly, the last couple of years have shown us that the game is changing all
yeah,
around
absolutely.
Us.
Absolutely. The thing about talking to you is we could go on forever.
Yes.
But the show doesn't. So we'll have to do this again. So my guest has been Rachael Lauren Wilson. Please give us your website again.
You can find me on Facebook at Clear Light Solutions. That's SOUL Solutions. And you can find me at QuietusLLC.com, QUITEUS.com.
Fantastic. We got to do this more often.
Yes, we do.
And yes, enough of this texting each other. We got to talk more often. Too much
number.
To talk about. Rachael, thank you so much for being on the show. It's always
thank
a pleasure.
David. Absolutely, me too.
Again, my guest has been Rachael Lauren Wilson, and if you've gotten at all curious about what the strange guy David does, you can go to househealing.com, and cleverly hiding in plain view on the contact tab is every way you can get in touch with me, including my scheduling calendar to set up a time on the phone to talk about how my work might be helpful to you. You can find more information about the show at thefarkasfiles.com. And we got to go. So until next week, this is David Franklin Farkas for The Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere on Empower Radio. Have a fantastic week.